It's been a wild ride.
Not boring.
It's definitely not. Very, very drama fulfilled season for the Royals. 2 7 game losing streaks at the worst possible time.
But also, that's all they did all year. I mean, only 2 7 game losing streaks is still really remarkable to me.
Right. And the magic number is 1. Minnesota just is 1,000% just
done.
Tanking and choking.
My God.
I mean, I can only imagine what my buddy Henry Lake's emotions are going on with right now. And last night, they win against Washington, or yesterday, I should say. They beat Washington. They sweep Washington.
Keep losing teams losing, and that's what they did, right?
And now they'll play Atlanta for 3, which, you know, you kind of look at it as like a playoff test.
I do, yeah.
But to me, we had this conversation a few weeks ago when the Royals were, you know, geared up for this playoff push. Like, in a 3-game series, let's say it goes 3 games, right? Mm-hmm. Hopefully it goes 2 and the Royals are out of that stadium and they can come back home and then get ready for another playoff series and have some playoff home games so we can see Kauffman Stadium in its true fashion, which is passionate and blue. And when you look at what the Royals can bring with, we pretty much got it out of Q Wednesday, I think, when I said, is Reagan's getting game one? Boys like, well, we'll see. Like when it, but
you hope that Sunday game doesn't matter for anything.
You're kind of, because they have tiebreaker over Detroit. Detroit's playing a White Sox team that's playing with some pettiness as well.
Yeah, they're starting. They held back Crochet to try to beat the Tigers.
And I think Scooble would be in line to pitch Sunday.
Okay.
I may be wrong about that, but I know he pitched, I think, the first game of that series, so maybe it's Saturday. But either way, are they going to use Scooble? Are they going to save him for a playoff game? Can't really kind of like figure out right now where you're going to play yet.
You start saving guys, though, that's when you do get into trouble. You got to play these games, both Detroit, Kansas City, Atlanta, the Mets, everybody who's still alive. You can't hold back for the playoffs, because if you do, then you may not make the playoffs.
And this is what the Royals are going to be. They're going to be spearheaded by their rotation, which has been there the entire year. They're going to have to trust that their superstar in Bobby Witt Jr. will be a playoff sensation. And I can't wait to see if he takes it up another level when the lights get even brighter, which I have no fear or distrust in any of that.
You know, like I've said all along, the playoffs are bigger for Bobby Witt than they are for the Royals as an organization. He has a chance to become in that same category of Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge right now. And that's where, like, kind of baseball, ancillary fans, secondary fans, the casual baseball fan, which I think we all are at times, everybody knows Judge, everybody knows Ohtani. I want October to be over and everybody to say there's a three-headed monster in baseball right now, and Bobby Witt is that third head. It's Judge, it's Ohtani, it's Bobby Witt. I want him to be in that category because I think he is as good as all of those guys, but he's not a household name quite yet around the United States and around Major League Baseball. If he goes out there and dominates and has a postseason like a Patrick Mahomes type of postseason, everybody's going to know about Bobby Witt. He'll be the front runner for MVP next year.
Right. And the thing that's great about this Royals team is that they're unlike anybody else that's going to be in the playoffs. Like, you know who Houston is, right? They're a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know who the Yankees are, right? You hear about Judge and Soto.
But they're a terrible playoff team, Dusty.
And that's fine.
And they're going to be playing with more pressure than anybody because they haven't won since 09.
Well,
the Royals may have 2 world championships since the Yankees last had one if everything goes right this October.
Well, they've been to 2.
I've said they may have 2 championships. Oh, yeah. Like, if everything goes right over these next 30 days or so, the Royals may have more world championships this decade than the Yankees do.
Yeah. So the thing that's crazy is that when you look at this Royals team, they're kind of built for your classic sort of playoff team. They have an excellent rotation. They have speed and defense. And in the playoffs, when you have a good rotation, you have good defense, and you have good speed, you can get up to a 2-0 lead, and then maybe you can start to have it. And what will also happen is you'll have a deeper bullpen. We both said Brady Singer hasn't shown it. He has a chance tonight to kind of up his, you know, worth on this playoff rotation. But the thing that's crazy is that Brady Singer can be a bullpen piece. You can bring Brady Singer in mid-relief. Let's say that, God forbid, Lugo gives up like 3 runs in the first inning and his pitch count's high, and it's like, well, what do we do now? We don't really want to go to Long yet. We don't really want to go to Zerpa, hopefully at all. He's been okay. Yeah. We don't want to go to, you know, Daniel Lynch yet, which you can.
Right.
But you're going to have that situation where you're going to have an extended bullpen, which ironically has come up in the biggest time of the year where they've been bad all year, but I'm not worried about it now because they've actually shown that they can be a good bullpen with those left-handed arms. But not only that, when you go into the playoffs and you ride this momentum that they are riding in, that's why I asked earlier, did Detroit peak too early? You look at playoff baseball. last year, Texas and Arizona, got hot at the very end and just rode that all the way to the World Series. The Royals have won three in a row, coming off of a seven-game losing streak, and now they're going to go to Atlanta, play more baseball to see if that rhythm is still going, kind of get that offense a little bit more better, but they're also going to have, they're a team that's going to have that unsung hero every other night. Might be Hunter Renfroe hits a two-run homer in the bottom of the eighth to put the team up by one. Might be Frazier, who hit the go-ahead two-run single yesterday to put him up 6-4. Might be Garrett Hampson. I don't know. Frazier did it earlier in the season against Anaheim when he hit that home run in the, what was it, the top of the ninth? And they ended up winning the game. That's where the Royals
are going to
be.
MJ Melendez has had big moments. Like there are guys that step it up. But when you're looking at unsung hero in this one, and I'm going to be a wet blanket here for a minute, because I think
not
it is.
Not a cheese blanket?
No, not a cheese blanket. I may make a cheese blanket later. But I'm going to be a wet blanket here for a second. I'm concerned about Q managing in the playoffs. And the reason I say that is because he was on that Tampa Bay bench when Blake Snell was rolling along.
Oh, yeah.
And they used stupid analytics and took Blake Snell out of the game and ended up losing a World Series.
Okay.
And so my message is, Q, do not manage like that guy did in Tampa. Do not manage with analytics. Do not manage with numbers. Do not manage by what somebody with an abacus and a spreadsheet is telling you what to do. You need to manage this thing by feel. And if Cole Reagans is cruising along, and you're up 1-0 and it's in the sixth inning and he's at 90 pitches, you need to let him continue to go. You don't bring in the bullpen in that situation. And that is my biggest concern in the postseason, because I still have visions of Blake Snell dominating for six innings and the Tampa Bay Rays taking him out of the game, and they end up losing that game. The last game of the season, they ended up losing the World Series. You leave Blake Snell in that game, and you win. They managed with analytics. They didn't manage with feel. And I don't know what to expect from Q, but I know where he was, and I know what he's been through, and I know what his lineage is, if you will. I hope he takes that lineage, like a lot of us do and our family members, and throw it out the window. And I hope he manages with feel and he doesn't manage with analytics, because if Cole Reagans is cruising along and they're leading 1-0 and he's at 89 or 90 pitches and they take him out and the bullpen blows it, what's the narrative going to be? Yeah. What the hell was Q doing? So I don't want him to have to face that music. I don't want him to have to face those scenarios. I want him to manage with feel and not analytics. And if you manage with feel in the postseason, your odds are much better than doing the stupid analytical nonsense.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Q because of what we've seen from this organization already. Like, everyone thought that J.J. Bukola was just going to be a shadow of Dayton Moore. Has not been. John Sherman has not been a shadow of what owners have been in the past. They signed their superstar to a long-term extension, gave him the money. And I don't, you know, just because he was a part of Tampa, maybe you learn from other people's mistakes.
And that's what you hope. You absolutely hope that,
Ned did. Ned learned.
Ned learned from his own mistake. Yeah. He got fired a week before the end of the season, right?
And then he told himself in 15, I remember sitting there in the press conference, he said, I learned because I started listening to my bench coaches. They're here for a reason.
That's exactly right. Listen to your coaches.
And he started to do that, and they won a World Series the very next year. And that's just who they've been, and that's what I think that they're going to be fine with, because, look, when you watch MLB Network, I promise you this, people that are listening to this show right now, when you watch MLB Network and they have the question, which they will ask when the playoffs are officially there, who's the one team that no one's talking about that they should be?
Oh, everybody will say the Royals.
70% will be the Royals, because they'll be like, they're spearheaded with starting rotation. They've got Bobby Witt Jr. and they've got Salvador Perez, who's a World Series MVP in the past.
And everybody's talking about Philadelphia. Yep. Everybody's talking about the Dodgers. Everybody's talking about the Yankees. Everybody's going to be talking about the Mets and the Braves. Everybody's going to be talking about the Astros are here again.
Right.
Like, the only team that's, and then people will mention the Orioles, but they've kind of been in the back of everybody's mind because they haven't been playing great baseball. But yeah, the Royals will be one of those teams that a lot of people aren't talking about. Now, if Arizona ends up getting in, I think people will be talking about them going, oh my God, 2 years in a row, Arizona getting in at the last second and finding a way to get it there. But no, I do really believe, I hope he learned from, I don't even remember what that manager's name was now, down in Tampa, who pulled, you know, Blake Snell out of the game. It's one of the most egregious coaching decisions in the history of sports. And
outside of letting Matt Harvey pitch one more inning.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, that's the player going to you, tell you, I'm ready, I want to go. All right, fine. You believe in your players. They took Blake Snell out of the last game of the year because analytics said it. And you don't manage that way in the playoffs, because if you're up one, let's just say it's game one against Baltimore, right? You got that 1-0 lead. You take your starting pitcher out. You go to that bullpen who has not been reliable for the majority of the season. And they end up losing that game. You're probably not going to recover, and fans are going to lose their mind.
Baseball coverage on 96.5 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs. He joins us next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan here on a Friday. Damn glad to have you. Should be another great Friday out there. High of 76.
Beautiful day today, right? Another good one. We're not going to get any remnants of, what is it, Helen?
That's the name of the hurricane?
I think so.
Will they ever run out of names?
Well, I don't think so. So I mean, wait. There's how many names in the world,
so the next
right?
hurricane will be a J name?
H-I.
H-I.
I, an I name, like Ean.
Icarus.
Icarus is a good one.
James Bond movie.
I like Ean.
Hurricane Ian.
It's Ean.
It's like yogging.
Yogging.
Yeah, it's a silent J.
I'm going to yog later.
Someone on the text line must
I'm going to yog at the yay.
Yeah. I'm going to smoke a yay. A yay Binkley.
Yeah, start calling him Yay Binkley.
Oh, man. Every time he joins, you say, Yay, Binkley. You don't know if we're saying J if we're just excited. Let me tell you something, Dustman. It's J. It's a hard J, not a soft J. I'm not soft, Dustman.
But he was out last night in the wild.
Oh, really?
Yeah, up there at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, the wild. Okay,
yeah, doing a show with Mitchell Schwartz and Sean Barber, as you've heard the promos running. So our friends, the Kennedys, are in from Arizona. Their son plays down at Baker. Tony dominating down there. They were up at Buffalo Wild Wings last night. Like, hey, we see Jay Binkley in the wild. I'm like, go get his autograph. Do you think Binkley signs a lot of autographs?
He should.
He better.
I have his autograph.
Do you really?
Yep, it's tattooed on my heart.
Soon to get mine.
That's right. No, but that Oakland A's game, I was texting you yesterday. You were at an event for your daughter.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I was like, two things. Marlon Man's here.
Yep.
He was sitting right behind home plate.
And
again,
I told you, if you could go to one game, like, ever, that would kind of be on that list, right?
Somebody says a hurricane should be called Ian Eagle. but, no, the thing that's...
Love him.
The thing that's great about that Oakland A's game yesterday is, imagine the nerves you had to have as Mark Kotze. Yeah. I mean, he gave a hell of a speech at the end of the game. And... You know, you have to stew on that the entire time, and you won that game. You won 2 out of 3 and your final homestand. And the other thing that stuck out the best to me was they asked Ricky Henderson about it. And they're like, how do you feel about the A's leaving? He goes, I don't care. I made my money.
Yeah, right. He's like yeah, okay. But that's Ricky Henderson in a nutshell, right?
But it was interesting because I'm sitting there watching it with the roommate, and we're both kind of sitting there, and he's like, you know what? Honestly, this does suck.
Oh, I told you yesterday. Like, yeah. I was getting emotional for the fans.
Right. You think about it. You had the Raiders gone. You had the A's gone. You had this Golden State Warriors gone.
Gone.
And to think about like where I would be is my like where I am in my life at 37 to like grow up having all of those teams and to be like in the middle of my life and to see all those teams gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do in that situation?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you find new teams? Like, what do you?
You're a free agent.
You are.
And I would not be mad if you were like my buddy Mike. He's a Lakers fan, Cowboys fan, Cubs fan. There's reasons, right? Like, he grew up in the Quad Cities.
Okay, so that's part of the reason why, right?
So
there,
like, there's a little bit of that. He fell in love with football watching Dallas, and he stuck to it. And if you're still a Dallas fan,
feel bad for him now. Yeah,
I don't. He owns it. I've given him many opportunities to switch over, and that's the thing that's crazy about that is it's tough to see your teams leave.
Oh.
But it's also reality that like teams will leave.
It doesn't matter who you are. And I was telling you this yesterday. This is why the stadium thing is so important to get figured out in this town, because you don't want to be in that situation that Oakland is. And for those of you who say it will never happen here in Kansas City, you can't live in the it will never happen world, because it already has happened. We lost a basketball team. We lost a hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, Lamar Hunt did abandon Dallas and come to Kansas City.
Best decision you ever made.
Exactly. Yeah. So there is that history there, but these owners are all about money. And if somebody scratches a check for $6 billion for Clark Hunt to build a new stadium in, you know, the southern part of Utah or whatever, he's going to take the money. I mean, that's just kind of the way it goes. It's a business. And I think yesterday was a good reminder for everybody that, hey, man, nothing is guaranteed. Nothing is permanent. Nothing is here forever. You've got to always keep up with the Joneses. Otherwise, these owners are going to jump. And it's a total greed move by Major League Baseball. It's a total greed move by the owner of the A's to try to get this Las Vegas thing going right now. And that's what sports is about. And I hate to keep saying it's a business, but it is. I mean, this is a business of where we are. So when the stadium stuff comes up again, if you have to vote, vote yes, or we could be looking at the Oakland A's.
Wrong. for Kansas City's brilliant tight end, Tony Gonzalez.
He's the pride of Smith Center, Kansas.
First and 10 for the Chiefs at the 14 of the Steelers. Halfback pass, Marcus Allen right side, touchdown, Kansas City! Dayton Hughes from Marcus Allen!
He's a member of the Kansas Association of Broadcasters and Missouri Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame.
Holmes off tackle left, gets a block at the 10, breaks a tackle, angles left near front pylon, touchdown, Kansas City!
He's a four-time Emmy winner.
Mahomes in the pocket, floats a pass near side, Kelce over the shoulder, he's got the catch, he's got the touchdown, Kansas City!
And he loves him some pooches.
Picked off by Watson, Watson could go all the way, the seventh round pick, 10-5, Jalen Watson!
Entering his 30th year as the voice of the Chiefs.
For the second time in four seasons, the Lombardi Trophy has a red and gold reflection.
It's Mitch Holtis on Fesco in the Morning.
Little retro style as we look back at the Oakland Coliseum. Mitch is joining us here on 96.5 The Fan, and it's all brought to you by my friends over at Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. And I told you yesterday, Mitch, I wanted your favorite memory of Oakland. I only have one. It was when KU played in the arena and the Chiefs played at the Coliseum on the same day, and I double-dipped and went to both of those games, and it was a lot of fun. So I don't have many memories of that joint, but I'm sure you do.
You didn't feel like you were working at a correctional facility, did you, that day?
Yes, I did. Walking over that bridge from the BART was like you're walking through, barbed wire. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So there was one day, it was leaking in our booth. And we got thousands and thousands of dollars worth of equipment, and our executive producer, Dan Israel, is just freaking out. Well, our audio director, he's our A1 and A2, Nate Wetmore, he's brilliant at what he does, decides to take matter in his own hands, and he's covering up these leaks with cups. And we don't know what this liquid is. Is this just water, or is this from, the urinal upstairs?
Ugh.
Right? So we're thinking, are we going to get hepatitis shots here? Anyway, it turns into a... So Nate can't leave it alone. He's got to put it on social media, kind of like I did with the 6-inch bar right in front of me in Atlanta last week. So Nate puts it on social media. It gets viral. Folks at the Coliseum freak out. They're going, you got to take the cups down. They're like, no, because it's leaking water all over our stuff. Nope, take the cups down. So the Oakland police show up to take the cups down. Well, I've got a buddy who's a buddy of a buddy. I've got a buddy named The Brick. He's the best ref in Kansas. That's all he's called, is The Brick. He's got a buddy he played with at Olathe High. Before Olathe North, there was Olathe High. Well, he's a top FBI agent in the Bay Area. So I bring my FBI agent in. I go, hey, you want to talk to the FBI here? Because we have a situation. Anyway, it escalated to the point of, hey, are we even going to do this game? With the Oakland police, the FBI, and the Coliseum people, it was a wreck.
Oh my god!
It was a mess. It was an all-timer.
So yeah. What ended up happening? What was the end result of all of that?
The cops came. There was like threats of lawsuits, and we got the game in, and then got the heck out of there.
Unbelievable
that place. Oh man, that place! I'm telling you.
The fact that they cared.
Bad every time you went in there.
Yeah, it really was. you wonder why the Raiders, as a franchise, are a dead stick, because they're worried about a social media post that a radio person put up trying to protect their equipment. That's what they were focused on that day.
Yeah, it pretty much. I mean, and I feel bad for the A's fans.
Yep.
I mean, it happened to us. You talk about losing hockey and basketball. We also lost baseball.
And the A's, yeah.
And the A's left, too. And that was a critical time in our city's history. And Stuart Symington and some leaders in Washington were going to – they pushed for expansion in baseball. And Mr. Kaufman was able to be, you know, available with Marion Laboratories and have the capital. And four expansion teams all came in the same year. The Expos, now the Nationals, the Padres – the Seattle Pilots, now the Brewers, and the Royals. But baseball came back within 1 year absence. Other than that, it could have been a real problem.
No doubt about it. Talking with Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs here on 96.5 The Fan. I'm just going to say this to you, Mitch. Go after Todd McShay for us, because I've done enough of that this week.
We live in the world of an easy or lazy narrative that gets lots of reaction. That's when you ding the bell, right? If I can give some lazy, crazy, inaccurate narrative, but I get everybody all fired up. Todd McShay usually does his homework when it comes to the draft time, usually. This one, just to poke the needle and poke the bear, whatever, to push the needle, is ridiculous. Travis Kelce has played, he's closing in on 7,000 snaps over the past, 7 years. I watched him this summer. I watched him in training camp. I'll see him in practice, where the guy just is a workhorse. I don't get where he's distracted. I don't get where he's fat or whatever, McShay, all the stuff he said. Like, it's just ridiculous. But if I can get all the Swifties fired up and I can get all the Chiefs Kingdom fired up by saying something lazy and ridiculous, then watch this. And that's the world we're living in, and it's somewhat troubling.
Mitch, darn glad to have you on a Friday here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. I know we're gearing up for another visit out to L.A. Someone who will be part of that team is Kareem Hunt. And I'm interested to know what maybe your expectations are after, you know, kind of watching him in practice and kind of getting to see where he's at this point in his career.
I think there's enough there to help out. We're going to be wrong if we think it's going to be 2017 Kareem Hunt and half of 2018. But there's enough there in what he provides to be valuable. It's still going to be running back by committee or algebraic quadratic equation, whatever analogy you want to make. But if he becomes then a third part of this, because P. Ryan is still going to be a part of it, so is Carson Steele. And so, but there's enough there. Can you get a 6 yards? Can you burst through and maybe get a 12-yard gain and get a first down? A coach told me yesterday, and I thought it was really well put, all three of those guys are going to be moving forward. All of them. All of them are able to get yards after contact and do so on a regular basis. So I think Kareem, he's that same guy. And so I think there's going to be value there, but I wouldn't necessarily put him on your fantasy team.
No, I wouldn't put, you know, many running backs from this, you know, this operation on the fantasy team. And that's the beauty of the Chiefs right now. They don't care about your fantasy team. They just go out there and win football games. And one of the things, though, that does concern me a little bit, Mitch, has been the red zone conversions. Like 44% of the time they're scoring touchdowns, right? And if you just eliminate one field goal and turn it into a touchdown, they've blown everybody out in the first 3 weeks. They've blown out three good teams, and everybody's praising this team. How do they get better inside the 20?
And this goes back to, honestly, training camp and the preseason games, because even when the first team was out there, they would drive, field goal. And love Butker, but 7 field goals in 3 games is too many. And they all understand it. They're trying to figure it out. In the red zone, there's 2 things. You have to attack the entire width of the field, meaning pylon to pylon, because the field's condensed vertically. And so think about Tom and Jerry. Think about Corn Dog. Think about all the plays they ran in these Super Bowls, where those were plays that were designed to stretch the defense horizontally. The other thing is trying to play upstairs. There's no airspace, no limitation on airspace in the red zone. So does you start looking at some fade opportunities and just throw it up there? That's why I was hoping Jared Wiley would become a factor soon. In fact, that's what he does. It's what he did at TCU. He had more red zone touchdowns last year than anybody in the FBS. So upstairs and pylon to pylon, you've got to attack it that way and hopefully a little better. It's got to be better in the red zone as we move on.
Mitch, the other thing that we're going to see for the first time, I guess, is a different Harbaugh on the sidelines. John has dominated for as long as he has in Baltimore. Jim's been a really good head football coach. What do you see out of Jim Harbaugh?
Not all Harbaughs are the same, okay? The dad knew him when he was at Western Kentucky, and Jim helped him recruit and lived out of his, you know, van down by the river, like the Chris Farley skit. And Jim's just very different than John. But what Jim Harbaugh is trying to do is bring the Ravens to the AFC West. And, I mean, it's just pretty blatant here in the first 3 weeks of the season that they're just going to run the ball, power at you, pound away, punch at you. They're plus three in the giveaway takeaway in 3 weeks. They have 56% run percentage, which is fourth in the league. Now, they have the fewest first downs in the league, so they're not staying on the field, but they're getting some explosive runs from J.K. Dobbins, and he's had a buck 30 in two of the three games. So if you want to see the new Chargers of Jim Harbaugh, just watch 17 years of a video of John Harbaugh with the Ravens. Because I get the feeling if Jim could change their uniforms to purple and black, he would. But you're playing the Ravens this week. It's going to be physical. I don't care who's playing quarterback. Doesn't matter to Jim Harbaugh. He's going to pound away, and he's going to play to the whistle or through the whistle. This is a Dana Hughes JT 383 kind of game.
Yeah.
Because this is not for the faint of heart. They're going to come out punching, man. And they're very physical.
And it's probably going to be a close game, like every game has been so far this year. It seems like in the NFL there haven't been many blowouts. If you can win close games, though, man, that's like a good sign moving forward, isn't it?
Kind of depends on the sport, I think, the way we view it. You want your stat of maybe the year?
Yes.
You want your stat of the year? All right, get Likens ready for this one.
Okay.
Take a deep breath. Bink would like this one. This is from NFL Research. The Chiefs have won 9 straight games counting the playoffs, okay? All the way back to Super Bowl, winning Super Bowl 58. 9 straight wins. The total differential in those 9 wins is plus 54.
Yeah.
It is the lowest differential in the history of the National Football League ever in a 9-game winning streak.
Mm. Yeah, that one now, keeps popping, man.
Listen to Dusty. Dusty goes, ooh, what's that mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's, in football, we see it as some sign of weakness. If that was baseball and I win 9 1 run games in a row, it's seen as a strength. Think about it. If you're going, hey, they won 17 out of 20 1 run games in baseball. Wow, that's awesome. That's great. Football, you do it and you're like, ooh, why aren't you blowing anybody out here? So it's a matter of perception. It's there, the analytic and the number is there. But to win close games and to win it different ways, to me, is a strength instead of a weakness.
All right, so let me ask you this then. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, the narrative is that the Chiefs are boring, they're not scoring enough points. How many people are watching the Chiefs today still thinking we're living in 2018?
Yeah, and then defenses have adjusted.
Right.
We're not living in 2018. This is a way better Chiefs defense. Special teams are solid, if not sometimes spectacular. I don't know. You probably play bridge, Bob. I don't know.
No. I play Mahjong, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, okay. I play Uno, and I can't figure out the draw four. All right. So my dad is 91 years old.
Wonderful man.
He still plays. Yeah, he's awesome. He's sharp as a tack. I said, we were having the same discussion. My dad's like, well, it's like bidding no Trump in bridge. Bridge is a very complicated, calculated game. But if you bid no Trump in bridge, it's the highest bid you can make. So if I bid 3 no Trump, I'm going to play 3 extra tricks over 6, and I get extra points. But no Trump means I can play clubs, diamonds, spades, or hearts. I don't have to win by using one suit. And so the parallel here is the fact that you can do it different ways. And so, no, it's not 2018, but that's also about fantasy football because, God, I got to have Mahomes getting 4,500 yards and 50 touchdowns. No, you don't. The Chiefs have won 11 games now out of the last 24 where he has been under his passing average, and they're still winning.
Wow.
And a lot of it is due to him. Mahomes can still be Mahomes. Kelce can still be Kelce. But if you're playing rock-hard defense, especially at the end of games, it's not luck. It's the fact that you have a comprehensive team. That's where the perception is all out of whack, I think.
Well, Mitch, we appreciate the time. I'm going to be playing some Rock Hard Phantom on Sunday when they take on these boys in L.A. at 325.
He's got a game. Don't let him fool you, Bob. He's got a bridge game at John Knox Village at 3 o'clock.
That's right. He'll be down there. The bus is picking him up and taking him there and feeding him all the pudding in the world.
You better, as long as it's, banana pudding, I'm good.
He's bringing all the beers.
That's right.
The barbecue.
Well, Mitch, have a great call. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next Friday when we're 4-0.
Hey, grow a pair and bid no Trump.
I have no idea what bridge is. I've heard of it, obviously.
I thought that's how you shuffled it. You could do the bridge.
The bridge, yeah.
I can do that for sure.
Yeah, the thing in Independence that everybody hits.
Too many nights in poker basements. Mitch told us they're brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience. Outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Coming up on the other side, we will get into what your expectations are for the three. We'll explain who those three are on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5. The Fan, your home for sports, Kansas City. All right, your Friday morning highway on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5. The Fan continues to roll on. We'll get into our cover two. We'll get into our scripts. We'll get into Harold Kuntz, who will join us in the roundtable in the 9 o'clock hour.
The hardest working man in media, my friend.
Right.
That guy's everywhere all the time.
Rock hard. That's what Mitch said.
That's what Mitch said, yeah.
I'm just repeating the voice of the Chiefs.
That's right.
But no, we did have yesterday on, we had Nate Taylor, The Athletic, and we asked Mitch about it as well, as he said something about Kareem Hunt. We'll get to that a little bit later, but I want to get to Nate Taylor's comments because you bring up, you know, what do you expect? You know, what do you think he's going to do? Like, where do you think he's going to fit into this offense? Obviously, Carson Steele is your RB1, and you move on from that, and you think to yourself, okay, well.
What if I told you in June Carson Steele would be your RB1 in week 3? What would you be thinking?
I'd have thought the same thing that's happened. I said, something happened to Pacheco.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. And you would go, who the hell is Carson Steele, right? Well, that would have been the next question.
We knew who he was going into training camp because you saw the blonde locks and the alligator story and all sorts of stuff like that. But this was Nate Taylor on the expectations of Kareem Hunt.
For Sunday's game against a Chargers team that is a little bit decimated, no Derwin James, we possibly might not see Joey Bosa. I just want to see Kareem Hunt be a capable running back, someone who can get 3 to 4 yards a touch, someone that can spell some of the burden and the pressure on Carson Steele, right? I mean, it's a lot to ask an undrafted rookie to play the majority of the snaps in an NFL game in just his third NFL game. So, hey, give Kareem Hunt the ball in the screen game. Let's sort of see, can he run outside zone, make that one cut, get upfield, maybe make a defender miss or run him over. I think he's going to be playing with a lot of emotion. And for someone who is also closer to the end of their career than the beginning, what I heard yesterday from Kareem was not only a reflective person, but someone who understands this is a golden opportunity that should have never arrived. The fact that the Chiefs, in a bit of a desperation based on the timing of Isaiah Pacheco's injury, called him and he is going to play an NFL game for them again within a matter of 10 days is truly astonishing. So if he gives you anything, you kind of have to treat it as a bonus because this was not the expectation when the season began. But I also know too that, like, if you're ever going to get an inspired Kareem Hunt, now is the time.
I think, you know, Nate is right about that. Like, you always want to have guys on your team that feel like they have something to prove, right? Mm-hmm. We've all been there in our jobs, our profession, our lives, where you feel like you got something to prove. You want to go out there and work your ass off and show everybody that you can do it. Mm-hmm. And I think there's probably a lot of doubt with Kareem Hunt right now. I've got my doubt. I mean, this guy hasn't played since January, right? Didn't have an off season, didn't have OTAs, didn't have training camp, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, pushing 30, you know, with the running back position. And, you know, you see a guy like, you know, Christian McCaffrey, who's probably never going to play again in the NFL.
I mean,
that's where I'm going right now. Until you prove me otherwise, I don't know that we'll ever see Christian McCaffrey out on the field. We know the shelf life of running backs is like that in the NFL. And yeah, I mean, the man had to go to Germany to figure this thing out.
And even they were like, sorry.
Yeah, like even the German doctors are like, yeah, we got nothing over here. Like, we don't have any witch hazel to rub on this or whatever, you know, we're allowed to do here that we can't do there. I mean, so anyway, that's a whole other story for another day. But maybe it's not. But that's where I kind of am with Kareem Hunt. It's like my expectations are very low, very minimal. But I like the fact that he feels like he's got something to prove. Like, he has unfinished business here in Kansas City, because he did. Like, put yourself in his shoes, bro. Like, all of us. You're part of this team. You can see they're starting to get good. You F up in a huge way. You get kicked off the team. They go on and win three Super Bowls, and you feel like you should have been part of that. How do you think that's been feeling for him for the last 6 years? It's got to be a brutal feeling for Kareem Hunt. But self-inflicted, he did it to himself. But now he has an opportunity to right that wrong. And I don't know if you've ever been in a position where you wronged somebody, and then you had a chance to right it, and you felt better about yourself because you fixed the situation. But I kind of feel like that's where Kareem Hunt is right now. He has a chance to tie his whole career together and put a bow on it. And I think he's going to go out there, and I think he's going to play fairly well. Not a fantasy-type running back, but he's going to be a guy that we can rely on the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think it's just interesting to see, like, you know, people make mistakes and people want to come back and try to figure out what their purpose is. And we remember the video where he was getting pulled over for the DUI, and the audio in the car is like, I've really screwed up. I could be a Super Bowl champion. And I'm sure that that stewed in his mind for quite some time. And I remember when he came back as a member of the Cleveland Browns and scored, and he did the, you know, they're sleeping on me celebration. My expectations for Kareem Hunt are very vanilla. I expect him to get anywhere from 8 to 10 touches in this game. I think Carson Steele is the bell cow of the running game. I don't know what to expect from the running game against the Chargers, because I think there is a chance that, you know, maybe Patrick Mahomes has a different type of feel for this game because of what he's seen or what he feels he needs to improve on. But look, man, sometimes when you get completely broken and you are in a million pieces, you got to put yourself together a little bit more diligently. You have to kind of think about, okay, why this didn't work before. And sometimes when you build yourself back up, you become a stronger person for yourself. Mm-hmm. Not that it matters or anything like that, but to kind of give where I've screwed up in life. I lied to my college professors I was going to go home for the weekend during homecoming. I definitely didn't. I went out to the bars and partied. And then
why did you have to clear that with your college professors?
Because we had to be there the next day to cover the game.
I wanted to go out for
kegs and eggs and stay out the next morning.
Right.
And a classmate of mine saw me, and they're like, hey, I saw Dusty. I thought he was going to be out of town. And my professor Monday pulled me in the office and said, hey, here's what's going to happen. The president of the United States is coming to Warrensburg, and you won't be there. And I was like, oh, okay. He goes, you lied to me. You must pay for your consequences. Shout out Joe Moore. And I was wrecked, man. I was like, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. I was like, screw this. I don't get to meet the president of the United States at this time. Was Barack Obama, not to say any like politic views or whatever, but that's who the president was.
Who cares who it is at the time? You get to meet the president.
You could have met the president of the United States. I didn't get to do that. All my classmates did. And I had to sit back at home and watch it on our media network and know that I'm not there because I personally screwed up. I took that, ran with it, graduated, started a radio club, became the president of that radio club, and got a degree from University of Central Missouri.
Like, I sit this chair
to this day, probably because of that moment.
Yeah.
1,000%. So I do think Kareem Hunt can do something for this team.
And I
think that he has, you know, seen the true reflection of himself in the mirror and say, you know what? Yeah, you screwed up. Yeah, you were wrong. Yeah, you didn't do a good thing in that situation whatsoever. But because you did that, you can become somebody different, and you can become a piece of this team that, yeah, you didn't get a Super Bowl in the past, but you might be able to be a person or a big part
of a three-peat.
Of the biggest moment in NFL history.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something that this organization truly wants and truly covets. I was talking to somebody yesterday, still about Kareem Hunt. They're like, I can't believe he's back. I'm like, look, the three-peat for this organization is so important. They want to do everything they possibly can to give themselves the opportunity to win three in a row because of history. It's because it's legacy. Mm-hmm. And because we all know what that would mean if they won three straight Super Bowls, right? And can Kareem Hunt be part of that? Yeah, and I think you learn with age, too. The older you get, the more you understand about life and the more you realize you don't know. When you're 21 or 22, you think you've got all the answers in the world. I'm at 47, and I know every day I'm dumber than I was yesterday because you're willing to open up your mind and learn new things. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, you open, but anybody who doesn't age and realizes that, you're not aging the right way. You get dumber because you get smarter, right? Like, you open your mind up and you realize, you know what? I'm learning something every day. You think you know everything in your 20s. 30s, you start to realize, maybe I don't know everything. And then you hit your 40s and you're like, I don't know squat, man. And so you have to be willing to grow and to be open and to learn new things. And that's where Kareem Hunt is right now. He's a completely different person at 28, 29 than he was at 22, 21 years old. We all are. Unless you're doing it wrong. Like, if you don't grow and mature, then you're a jackass.
Yeah, you're Chiefsaholic.
Yeah.
This was Nate Taylor on Patrick Mahomes' role with Kelce numbers.
Patrick Mahomes kind of needs to get out of his own head and just get back to being who he naturally is, which is a creative quarterback, someone who is willing to extend plays, get out of the pocket, create highlights that are more ad-lib than the average quarterback.
Yeah.
He's done that less this season than I think we're all sort of accustomed to. But anytime he does do that, the person who is benefiting the most is Travis Kelce. So when you don't have your quarterback creating sort of opportunities for you and the coaching staff is not really calling plays for you because it's September, then yeah, the production is lower than we all expect.
Yeah, I like that analysis by Nate Taylor very much. And I do agree, it is September. Travis Kelce will get his in January when it matters. And if the quarterback's not getting you the ball, then there's nothing you can do about it. And for so many years, nobody's ever wanted to say anything about the quarterback not getting the ball to Travis Kelce. And Nate Taylor just did right there. But it's because it's a new style of offense. We talked about his yards per attempt being way down this year, and they are. But that's because you've got a guy who leads the league in yak. So you take what your strength is and you maximize that. It's a beautiful way to run an organization.
No doubt. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. We get to what's in the script and we give you a chance to know what you can win tickets to in the future here on 96.5 The Fan. We call this Fesco and Dusty, and it is your home for Kansas City sports.